Welcome back to the 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, and today we have a very special segment on working right where you're at. Not in Los Angeles, not New York, but in your small town or in your big town, you may never have to move to the big cities. You can work as a local hire right there where you're at. We have two amazing artists. One's a female in Little Rock, Arkansas. We're going to get to her later. But first up, we're going to New Orleans, and we're going to be speaking with Michael, and I'll let him pronounce his last name so I don't slaughter it. Today's theme is going to be about local hiring. That means if you live somewhere other than Los Angeles or New York, let's say you live in Texas, we're going to talk about getting roles right there in Texas or Massachusetts. This actor happens to live in New Orleans, and we're going to talk about what he does to get something called local hires. Let's give Michael a call and let's see what he has to offer you. And here we go.
Hello.
Hello, Michael. It's Johnny from Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
Hey, Johnny. I'm well. How are you?
Awesome. So first of all, I just want to ask you, how did you get into the business?
I got my SAG card in 2008. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. I moved to LA to pursue acting and did some studying, and then slowly started to meet some people within the industry and got on some sets and did some extra work, and then realized, okay, well, there's a process to this. And I kind of, some luck came my way, and I met a director out there, and he cast me in a small film, and I ended up getting my SAG card that way. I was Taft Hartley'd into the union, and then from that point on, I just seek representation and kind of move forward from there.
Right, because I noticed you said you got your SAG card in 2008, and I see your credits 2009, 2010, 2011. Then it seemed like there was about a 6-year gap, and now it seems like you're back as of a couple of years ago. What's the deal with that gap that was going on there? Did something personal in life come up?
When I left Detroit and went to LA, I spent a few years there, and the only thing I really did was get my one credit there, and then I kind of got my SAG card there, and I said, you know what? I'm going to move back home and spend some time with family. And I really almost thought about just kind of putting the idea away. So I went back home, and then I realized I want to continue to do this. And what happened in Michigan at the time is they were doing, a new governor got hired, and they really pushed for filming in the local Detroit area. So a lot of Hollywood productions were coming to Michigan. Michigan at one point was the highest tax incentives in the United States. It was 42%.
Wow.
So a lot of filming was in Michigan. And I said, you know what? I've just moved back from LA. I have some experience. I'm going to try it here. And that's when I got my first television credit on Detroit 187. That was actually shot in Detroit.
Okay.
So to make a long story short, after that, a new governor got elected and shut the film program down. And the agent that I had at the time said, hey, look, Mike, do you want to possibly think about moving to New Orleans because there's a huge film rush down there, Hollywood South? And I said, yeah, let's do it. And I actually arrived here a little late. The tail end of the Michigan film credits was already peeking into New Orleans, was already kind of established a little bit.
Okay.
So I came here a few years after that, but I just have been chasing the local hire work to build up my credits.
And that's there in New Orleans. I noticed you have a Chicago PD. Did they film that in New Orleans, or did you go to Chicago for that?
Well, the interesting thing with that is I put on tape and sent to my agents to give to casting from New Orleans to my Michigan agent. So I still always kept my agents in Michigan. And that's another good thing that I like to share with actors. It doesn't matter if you're from LA, New York, New Orleans, Chicago. Those are bigger markets. You could be from the smallest town in the United States. You still could probably find an agent that's within range of that state that you're in. And if that's a good idea to do so for just packing up and moving to LA, because you never know what films or productions are going to come your way in a small town. And you might get a shot at something before you even leave home.
Definitely. I interviewed a lot of people like from Massachusetts, and exactly what you're saying, and they're working exactly right where they're at.
Yeah, it's a great thing. I mean, there's pros and cons. A lot of the positive side is you get a chance to be seen by casting, where starting out, you don't have a lot of credits. If you're in the bigger markets, it's harder to get seen at first, as you probably know. That's definitely a plus. People will look at your auditions and they'll critique them and maybe give you a shot at something. But some of the negative of it could be is you are kind of just chasing smaller part. And there's a business side behind that as well. There's a tactic for the producers, because let's say you have a role that's a local hire role. In most cases, it's only going to be maybe 4, 5, 6 lines. So the producers probably look at it like, well, hey, we could just hire an actor locally to fulfill that spot. It's going to save us some money. And on a lot of union productions, they have to hire a certain amount of local people anyway. So it fills those voids for them.
Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, you know, because New Orleans and it said USC Film School. I was like, well, how did he get that? And I guess you lived in LA and that's when you did that USC film?
Yeah, when I was in LA, my primary focus was to just get material. So I was chasing a lot of the USC Film School student film productions. Mm-hmm. And that's really easy for actors to have access to because all they have to do is create an actor's access account or go on Backstage and all of a sudden you can have access to all those short films that the universities do, as I'm sure that you know, and many actors, you know that are starting out. But it's a great tool. A lot of people shy away from it at first. They try, oh, I'm going to go for the big stuff or get an agent. But it's really good to get some material under your belt first before you kind of step out into that world. So that's what I was doing in LA.
Yeah, that's good. So I noticed a lot of your roles are kind of like cop or military or something like that. And I looked on your special skills and it says firearms. Where did you get your firearm experience?
When I was about 15, I was involved with a youth program with the Navy. It was called United States Naval Sea Cadet Corps. That was the first aspiration of mine, was to get involved with the military or either some type of law enforcement. I actually did a little bit of schooling at a community college for law enforcement. That was my original career path. I always had acting in the back of my head, and not to get off track, but it's funny how things play out, because as I got older, I realized, hey, you know, what's the main reasons that I even wanted to be in the military or be a police officer or firefighter in the first place was probably because of all the crazy movies I saw growing up. So I kind of have a little bit of a background in handling weapons.
So talk about Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. You know, that's like doing a movie like that, and obviously it's not out yet, so it's going to be interesting to see what they you know, do with it. I think altogether I had about 8 lines in the film. I was lucky because the majority of my scenes were with Tom Hanks. I just play a character.
What? Really?
Yeah. I did about three or four scenes, and 3 out of the 4 were with him. I play a character at the top of the boat, a lookout part. Back in the day, they had these, you know, people that would be on top of the boat and they would scan the waters to see what was coming. Technology was so different back then, so they really relied more on the human eye than any kind of radar or sonar. So my position was just to be up there with binoculars and kind of call down to the captains then enemy ships were coming. But the way that the scenes were written, a good couple of them, I'm calling out, you know, enemy boats to Captain Krause, which is Tom Hanks' character, and he would have to rush up the stairs and come, you know, basically right next to me, and I'd have to point them out physically to him so he could see them for himself. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that material. You know how movies are.
Yeah.
They might cut it, they might keep it, you never know. But it was probably the best film career experience that I've had.
So how was he? Did you have any like off-camera time with him? What was it? How did he treat other people and what was he like?
He just was such a generous person and generous actor, even on set. It'd be funny, we'd be in between takes and a couple of the other actors, you know, we'd ask him about previous movies that he's done. You know, obviously everybody's asking about Saving Private Ryan or Forrest Gump, and he would tell all the actors, yeah, it was an amazing experience, this is what we did. You know, he would answer anybody's question. Just a great guy. Mm-hmm. But it was so funny watching him because we'd be in between takes and we'd be asking him questions. And the director would say, all right, guys, we're going to roll. 2 minutes, we're going. And all of a sudden, they cut, you know, count down. You know, he'd be there saying, yeah, so when I was on Saving Private Ryan, da, 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 he'd be telling the story. And all of a sudden, all right, action. 907, and he'd go right into the scene. And I remember sitting there to myself saying, how in the world does a guy do this? He just got done telling somebody about Saving Private Ryan, and now he's going into basically a 2-page monologue of coding for the scene. I'm like, Jesus, it's crazy. But super professional, great actor, and really learned a lot just from being in his presence.
So the name of that movie is called Greyhound, and it's going to be so great for you having that demo reel with Tom Hanks on the screen at the same time.
Yeah, and you know, that's one thing I tell everybody, and I don't mean to sound, you know, like I'm beating myself up or negative about it, but I tell my friends and family, I say, look, it was an amazing experience, you know, made some good money, learned a whole lot, but you never know if you're actually going to make the final cut. That's just the way that these things work.
Yeah, that's a good attitude. So you did a pilot called Security. Did that ever get into a series or something, or was it just a pilot? Were you there just doing a part to move the pilot along, and when it got picked up, they replaced your character, or what was the deal with that?
It's an interesting thing. It's still pretty much in the works, so I'm really not supposed to talk too much about it, but I can share a little bit about it. It's one of these projects that was done by local filmmakers here in New Orleans, but two of the producers that are behind it, the writer, are very serious about the project, and they keep chopping it around and trying to just get it shown and just putting it out there. And actually, one of the producers moved to Los Angeles about 4 or 5 months ago to go out there and try to get it packaged. He has some contacts at Netflix and stuff like that he's trying to chop this pilot along to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was just one little thing that I did. I played like a nightclub manager. So yeah, basically a local camaraderie here with that project. trying to get it on a bigger scale, and they're still working on it.
Okay, so you have a potential to even be in it if it gets made, or are you just there helping them along?
One of the guys that did it is a good buddy of mine, and he always jokes around. He says, if this thing gets picked up, you got to play the part. He's like, you're perfect at it, whatever. I go, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But I know how those things are. You know, if a network right. picks something up, they're going to come through and scrape down all the actors and cast some new people. Most of the time, that's fine. It's just the way it works. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes one or two of the actors will shine in the role and they'll keep them. But yeah, there's no official word if I would go along with that or if I would.
At least you got your foot in your door. And, you know, maybe when they cast it, they'll say, you know what? We're going to put you in this other part because it's just a pilot anyway. Nobody knows. It was just like a calling card to get it going.
Definitely.
So that's interesting. So if somebody is saying, wow, let's go to New Orleans. I have some family there. I don't have to worry about transportation. I don't have to worry about housing. I want to be an actor. So they go to New Orleans. So what's their next move? What do they do?
I mean, to cut to the chase, if someone's going to move here and try to pursue this local hire work, the best thing they could do is just do everything that they would do in New York or LA. You know, study up, try to get into the Screen Actors Guild as soon as possible. I think it can only benefit people. And number three is try to get representation here, get some good headshots, and also do student film. You know, LSU has blown up since this Hollywood South film bang happened down here. And the funding that the government gives to LSU for their film program is just tremendous. So when I haven't done an LSU student film project because I'm trying to, you know, focus more on, you know, getting actual professional work, but I have some friends that have been involved with LSU, and I watched some of these demos and some of these short films that they do, and they're just spectacular. So if someone's going to come here and has no grounding, they can get involved with all the student films, get themselves some footage, get some headshots, get an agent, and all of a sudden they will get auditions here. That's one thing about being in these markets. So I'm going to probably stay here until I can squeeze out another 3 or 4 credits, and then I'll start to look for representation in the bigger markets, and that'll probably happen within the next 3 or 4 years, and I'll be back in LA or New York.
You hear that, actors out there? You don't have to come to LA right now. You don't have to go to New York. You can stay right where you're at or a town nearby and do exactly what Michael just said. It would be to your benefit to take his advice. So if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, where's the best place for them to go?
My Instagram.
It's Mike_CAROLLO. Well, thank you so much for being my very special guest today, and we wish you the best, and thank you for all your advice about local hiring.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time. It's been fantastic.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Local hires, pay attention. So that is Mike, MIKE_CAROLLO on Instagram. He just finished shooting a movie with Kate Hudson called Mona Lisa and the Blue Moon. He's got a supporting role in it, and his character's name is Randy. That should be out in about a year. He also has a movie called Greyhound with Tom Hanks coming out next year. So he is on a roll, sitting there, not in Los Angeles and not in California, but in his local hometown, being a local hire and being a working actor. Now, let's move on to Little Rock, Arkansas. We have a very special guest. Her name is Danielle Finley. She comes from Little Rock, Arkansas, and this segment is about local hires. So if you're not in Los Angeles and you're not in California, you're in Massachusetts, you're in Little Rock, you're in New Orleans, wherever you are, we're going to try to find a way for you to find work exactly where you're at right now. No need to come to Hollywood yet. No need to come to New York. Stay where you're at. Get your training. But how? Well, let's give Danielle a call and see what she has to offer you. And you know it, here we go.
Hello?
Hello, Danielle. It's Johnny Keith from Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. And my first name's Finley.
Oh, really? It's backwards. It's the other way, huh?
Yeah, it's Finley, Daniel. I have 2 first and last names.
That's so great. That's busting me big time. Okay, so we're talking about local hires. So how do you do it right where you're at in Little Rock?
Well, being in Little Rock, you don't have as many resources as you would in LA. Or you're not surrounded by, I guess is what I should say, as many people who want to do what I want to do, which is act for film and then sing and songwrite. So you have to make do with what you have. The university I go to, it's not Juilliard, but you can make it your own Juilliard. You have to take advantage of what you're given and reach out to everyone and anyone that you know who know someone or is involved in what I do. So I constantly am submitting on IMDb, Facebook, Actors Access, Casting Network. I use all of my resources because you just never know who is going to know someone and what that can do for you.
Right. Does that get frustrating when you see all these parts in other places and you're like, dang it, I can't submit myself for that?
Yeah, it does. It's pretty hard at sometimes because you see all these amazing roles and you're just like, I can't afford to travel to Los Angeles or New York all the time. And it makes you wonder, should I move out there? But nowadays, everything is digital. Everything you're spending. And if you can at least get your foot in the door, then you have a better chance than having to just wonder, is it meant to be? So even just submitting and sending in an audition is better than just wondering.
Right. So you'll move here to LA and then they're going to say, oh, you don't need to come in. Just send in a self-tape. You're like, what?
Yeah. And people ask me all the time, how are you always doing all these projects and stuff since you're not there? You know, you don't live in LA or New York, the part of where your career is. And I always tell them, if I went there, I would be so broke and I'd be living paycheck to paycheck that I wouldn't have time to audition.
Mm-hmm.
And here I have plenty of time to audition and really get into my character and my role. And I was like, that's so much more of a blessing than having to stress about paying my bills.
I think you're very smart doing exactly what you're doing, because I think you could have came here to LA and wasted 4 or 5 years of your life. And there's a lot of distractions out here. I'm not going to lie to you, because right now, aren't you in school?
I am going to be a junior this coming up fall semester at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, and I'm a theater performance major.
Awesome. See, that's perfect.
Yeah, I want to do, though, acting for film, mm-hmm. more so than theater and Broadway, and then singing songwriting.
Mm-hmm. So you said you've been performing since you were 10 years old. Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, I'm born and raised in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I grew up in my room looking in the mirror and going, okay, like my 10-year-old self with my curly red hair going, okay, what's your scenario? Who are you? Okay, go, act. And ever since I started doing that, I started taking voice lessons and I started auditioning for this church. I started doing musicals there, and then I did the repertory theater here in Little Rock. And I just kind of got hooked. Well, I like dipped my feet into acting and singing. And ever since, I can't go away. I can't live without it. And so I started writing like some songs for my parents. I would perform it in front of them, you know, like those family home videos. You know, back on what you said, you know, taking every opportunity you have, that is something my parents have always said to me is, you're young, everything you want to do and that you have these big dreams, go for them now when you don't have a family and kids or a career that you're tied down to. And ever since I've grown up telling you that, I've taken it because I'm like, you know what? Like, I have a dream. I have a goal and I'm going to accomplish it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you have some great parents and that was some really good advice I gave you. So you have representation there in Little Rock and you have representation in Houston. How is a Houston agency representing you?
I have been with them for, I think February is when I signed with them. And telling them, hey, I'm submitting for this role. I do a lot of self-submission.
Okay.
I've always done it. And I know some actors, they think they have an agency. They don't need to self-submit anymore, but that's not the case.
Right. So that's all the physical things. Now, do you do things mentally, like create, focus, and visualize inside your head about preview coming attractions?
I do think of the specific details of, wow, what it feel like and what I'll be doing and what my thoughts are going to be and what I'm going to be wearing for the character, what set I'm going to be on. And
yeah.
Before you know it, you'll be there. And I truly believe you do your prep work and you do your behind the scenes work. You're not slacking.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get there. You have to think about what you want.
So sweet. So tell me about Dean Denton.
Oh, the man is amazing. Dean is my mentor. He was a fraternity brother with my uncle. So I got in contact with him through my uncle. I needed someone who really could tell me the ins and outs. So he's been my mentor for 2 years now, maybe. And the wisdom he's just given me, he reminds me, hey, not every project is meant for you. And not every project is what you're supposed to do. And I like ever since I've been in contact with him, I have booked more. I have more confidence. And then I want to eventually do my own stunts. I read something and it's like 1% of women do their own stunts. I want to grow that 1% and do my own stunts. Make it more exhilarating and fun for me because I just want to make a change.
Right.
I want to make an impact. I don't want to just be another redhead actress. I want to be like Finley Daniel, you know, the Finley Daniel impacted. industry made a difference.
That's awesome. So could you talk about some of your lead roles, like Boxed In or The World Without Flame, those two short films?
So A World Without Flame was my first ever short film I was in. It's what made me, you know, be like, oh, I'm doing this for the rest of my life. I don't care what anyone says. And so it's about this girl and her brother. Their society they lived in found out they had powers. So she can control fire. And I'd run for a second with the flame and then throw it out. So, I mean, I lost some hair on my arm, but it was fine. It was fine.
Now, when do you graduate from college? What year is that? Or how much longer do you have?
That's 2021. I always tell people, who knows what will happen, though.
Right.
I would love to get a role that is so diverse and challenging and just, it means something. It's powerful that I don't have to finish school, but I would still finish because I still want to get my training.
Right. So two more years, you're going to school. You're going to do as much as you can. You're going to get your resume up a little bit. It's fine the way it is, but you're going to get more tape on yourself. So 2 years go by, you graduated, you have this amazing demo reel, you got these credits. What is Finley going to do then?
By then, I hope I've accomplished my goals of being in a starring role. If I have done what I have told myself I'm going to do, besides what I accomplished, but just like hard work wise, I just hope that I'm proud of what I've done so far.
Right. Because you can still self-tape for New York and self-tape for LA without actually living there. And it's more affordable in Atlanta and probably less competition, just like right now, less competition. So let's just say somebody, they just move to Little Rock, you know, and they know they can go and do all the Actors Access and do all that stuff. What specifically can they do right there in Little Rock to start their career?
Connect with people ASAP, get on Facebook and join Facebook groups immediately. That is crucial to just know people's faces and get your face and your name out there. After connecting with people, you'll find out where do you get your headshots. Get your headshots done. After that, like if you don't have a resume yet and you literally have never done anything, start one of not your acting stuff, but what you, your special skills. What are you good at? What are your good attributes about you that can make you stand out? Then start trying to figure out how you're going to get a demo reel. Make sure you get some credit and make sure you're getting training. I think a lot of people out there think, oh, I don't need training. I'm naturally gifted. But here's the thing. Talent can only get you so far. Work ethic can get you farther. And that's why I love Will Smith. He talks about that all the time. He talks about how he wasn't born with a natural talent, but his work ethic is what got him there. So I would tell them, you've got to get training. I would connect them with Dean. I would tell them, no matter if you want to do theater or if you want to do film, you just need to start doing stuff. So go to local theaters and hit up local film people. Get connected and figure out how you can get more involved. And make sure you purchase lighting and backdrop and a camera to self-submit and self-tape because everything's digital now.
That's very good advice. So if anybody wanted to get in contact with you, what would be the best way?
Both my Instagram is Finley, FinleyKD, and my Facebook is just Finley Daniel. And my email, which is skdaniel85@gmail.com.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
If you feel like you're not doing what you're called to do, and you're not sure if you're doing what your real purpose is, you really need to do some, just self-evaluate for a second and realize there's a reason it's your purpose. There's a reason you're called to do it because you have nothing else to lose.
That's true. So, I mean, I think you have a really good mindset. I think you got, you know, your resume together. I think you have a great upbringing. You have good morals. You have good values. I think you're doing everything right. And I say, just keep doing what you're doing. And I think you're definitely going to get there. And I think you have a good vision, a very good direction. And I think you're going to be successful in this business.
Wow. Johnny, I appreciate that so much. It means a lot when you hear someone like you who's been in this industry and knows the ins and outs say that, to just be reminded like, hey, you're doing a good job. Keep going. I really appreciate that.
I want to thank you so much for being my very special guest today. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to share your story.
Hey, thanks, Johnny. I really appreciate that you let me on.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye, Johnny.
So there you have it. The amazing Finley Daniel. Not the other way around. So I want to touch on something Finley just said about what she said about somebody saying, you're doing good, you're on the right track, attaboy. That's something that a lot of us don't get. My dad was always a cheerleader. Attaboy, you're doing good, you're doing good. Mom, not so much. It's good to have somebody in your life that can sit there and say, hey, you're doing good, you're doing great. And that's what this radio show is really all about. It's for me to help you keep going and me putting confident and competent people in here for all you listeners out there so you can get some advice and implement it and take action. And Finley also said she wanted to be a stunt woman. Well, we have an episode coming up, and one of the women on there, she has had a successful stunt career. So look out for that episode. And also another thing Finley said, thank you for all these lead-ins, Finley, self-taping. Did you hear what she said? She had cameras, she had lights, she has a backdrop, and she does self-taping because she's a local person, and if she wants to audition in New York or LA, she has to do what's called a self-tape. Well, good news for all you listeners, I have an entire show dedicated to self-taping. I've seen a lot of them myself. 90% of them are not that great. They could be so much better. You need to learn what Finley just said, backdrop. You need to learn three-point lighting, and you need to know how to frame it, and you need to know how to do your slate. Not wasting time doing it professional so the person viewing it can focus on your performance. It's amazing. I just came back from the Screen Actors Guild. There was a two-hour seminar on it. The guy was amazing. He's going to be a guest on the show. You don't want to miss the episode about self-taping. Okay, well, back to Miss Daniels. Finley has some updates since that we've spoken with her. She's recently filmed a short film that she was cast in called No Reserve. It's going to be coming out soon. She plays the role of Gabby. She was interviewed by a local magazine that's coming out in November. And she says she has a very cool opportunity coming out in October, but of course she can't talk about that yet. But she wants me to let you know that she started a YouTube channel under her name Finley Daniel. So if you'd like to follow her and see what her journey's all about, just go to Finley Daniel on YouTube and you can follow her journey. I also want to talk about headshots. I had a guest named Christine Horn. If you missed that interview, please go back and look at it. She has a lot of golden nuggets for your acting career. One thing she did say is if you need headshots, you don't want to spend a lot of money and you need them now, just go to Craigslist. Look at the people that are advertising. Look for the best deal. I found a photographer who was running a special. I called. I booked it. I love the photos. I have an example for you. Just go to johnnykeith.com, johnnykeith.com, and just click on the link at the top called vlog and scroll through there, and you'll see my before pictures and you'll see my after pictures. So I didn't get any deals. I paid just like you paid, but he said if you mention Actors 2020 podcast, he will give you $100 off. DylanPiercePhoto.com, D-Y-L-A-N, Dylan Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E, photo, P-H-O-T-O.com, DylanPiercePhoto.com. This episode was all about local hires. I hope you enjoyed it. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Actors 2020 podcast. I'm Johnny Keith, your host. Now we're going to end this episode, like we end every episode, with something called The Lesson. Because life is a bitch. Gee, really? Why don't you tell me something I don't already know? Because everywhere I go, people tell me what to do. Hey, go to church, go to school, you treat me like a fool. Now, I don't need religion, culture, class. You don't like that fact where you can kiss my ass. Yeah, I'm white and I rap. You got a problem with that? Loosen up and don't be so uptight. Take it easy, E. We got the whole night. Yes, I'm psyched. I'm ready to get the show on the road. I don't want to stop because I just might explode. I tell you what, home slice, I'm twice as nice than any bad boy rapper called Vanilla Ice. My lesson, yeah, it's hip. In case you didn't know what I'm here to inform ya, I'm better than snow. I don't moonwalk or dunk like these Michael J's, but I can hold my own. You hear what I say? Now listen, learn, cause here comes the lesson. Lesson one. Everybody sit down, JK is gonna take you for a ride uptown. Yo, this is the story of the Hollywood game. Choose your path careful, you're the only one to blame. Now when it comes to pot, crack, tweak, or blow, stick to the rules and just say no. Because you're young, you're eager, you want in the movies. Don't think you'll get there by giving up the booty, cause they'll use you, abuse you, throw you out like trash. And then you'll discover that you're out of cash. Now your heart, your soul is somewhere on the shelf, and you're walking through the streets now talking to yourself. The lesson. Well, you heard lesson one, it's time for lesson two. You have a choice, and the choice is up to you. I came to Hollywood to be a rich and famous star, but for now I'm waiting tables and I'm tending someone's bar. Pictures, classes, agents, where the hell does it all end? Every time I turn around,
I'm starting over again. I finally got a break with a 5 line and under. My life was starting to roar like lightning and thunder. The phone rings, hello, I'm cast in a pilot. My life spun out of control just like an LA riot. I walked off the set, said to hell with this all, man. The phone's not even ringing and my life is in the can. The lesson. Yeah, final lesson here, of course it's number 3. Now remember, I'm an actor to be or not to be. When the going got tough, I climbed into the bottle. I'm back on my feet now, revving my throttle on the climb to the top. It's the same old games. Now I'm kicking ass and I'm taking some names. Clawing, scraping, screaming, that was a long, hard crawl. But it was all worth it, I'm a box office draw. Opportunity was there when I took it with a punch. Not now, baby, but let's do lunch. There's a big piece of pie and you should grab your portion. You can be like me, enjoying fame and fortune. Boom! That's the lesson. Go and learn it. It's the lesson. Go and learn it. It's the lesson. Peace out.
Thank you for tuning in to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith. Until the next episode, bye-bye.